Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nainar Tree's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. A History of Money and Banking in the United States, the Colonial Era to World War II is a work of economic history by Murray N. Rothbard, published posthumously in 2002 from his archived manuscripts. The book examines the development of American money and banking from the colonial period through the New Deal era and into the mid-20th century. With a strong emphasis on inflation, banking panics, central banking, and the political institutions that shaped monetary policy. Written from an Austrian school perspective, it challenges standard narratives that portray the evolution of U.S. banking as a largely neutral process of modernization. Instead, Rothbard argues that repeated government intervention, rather than free market failure, lies behind many of the country's monetary disturbances. The book is substantial in scope and is aimed at readers who want a historically grounded critique of the Federal Reserve, the gold standard, and regulatory banking systems in the United States. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Rothbard reinterprets American monetary history through government intervention. The central interpretive move in the book is Rothbard's claim that major monetary disturbances in U.S. history are best understood as consequences of state action rather than spontaneous market breakdown. He presents banking panics, inflations, and currency instability as recurring results of political manipulation of money, especially through chartering privileges, suspension of specie payments, and legal restrictions on banking. This framing matters because it reverses the usual institutional story in which regulation is treated as the cure for instability. Rothbard instead argues that many crises were created or intensified by policies that weakened market discipline and encouraged overexpansion of credit. The result is a historical narrative that links money to political power, showing how monetary systems are never purely technical arrangements. For readers, this provides a conceptual lens for understanding why debates over banking are also debates over sovereignty, legality, and the distribution of economic power. Secondly, the gold standard as a discipline on credit, not a mere historical relic. A major theme throughout the book is the gold standard, which Rothbard treats not as an outdated convention, but as a monetary framework that imposes discipline on governments and banks. In his account, sound money limits the ability of authorities to inflate, finance deficits, or rescue fragile institutions by creating new money. That constraint is precisely why gold-backed systems are often resisted by political actors who prefer discretion. Rothbard uses American history to show how departures from hard money principles were often followed by instability, depreciation, or crisis. He also connects the weakening of gold discipline to broader institutional changes, including the rise of central banking and wartime finance. The book does not simply idealize gold in the abstract. It uses historical episodes to argue that money tied to a commodity anchor creates stronger incentives for restraint and more transparent consequences when policymakers overreach. This makes the gold standard a practical analytical tool in the book, not just a symbol of monetary conservatism. Thirdly, the Federal Reserve and the creation of a centralized banking order. Rothbard devotes substantial attention to the Federal Reserve as a pivotal institutional turning point in American banking history. He treats the Fed not as a neutral stabilizer, but as a centralizing institution that made coordinated inflation and credit expansion more systematic than under earlier fragmented banking arrangements. The book situates the creation of the Fed within the political and financial interests that supported banking reform, arguing that the new system empowered elite institutions and reduced the discipline that a more decentralized market might have imposed. This analysis is important because it shifts focus from the Fed's stated purpose to its structural effects. It can backstop banks, smooth over errors, and postpone liquidation, but at the cost of encouraging moral hazard and deeper cycles of boom and bust. Rothbard's discussion also helps explain why monetary policy cannot be judged only by short-term stability. He insists that apparent calm may conceal long-term distortions produced by central authority, a point that gives the book enduring relevance in debates about central banking. Fourthly, banking panics and crises as recurrent consequences of suspended market discipline. One of the book's most concrete historical contributions is its recurring analysis of banking panics and financial meltdowns across different periods of U.S. history. Rothbard does not treat these episodes as isolated accidents. Instead, he reads them as patterns that emerge when banks are allowed or encouraged to operate with insufficient restraint, often under the protection of government-backed privileges or emergency support. When convertibility is suspended, reserves are stretched, or politically favored institutions are shielded from failure, the normal corrective pressures of the market are weakened. The book uses this logic to connect crises across time, from early American monetary disorder to the Great Depression era. The key analytical idea is that banking instability often grows out of attempts to suppress failure rather than allow it to occur quickly and clearly. This gives the reader a framework for comparing crises that may look different on the surface, but share similar institutional causes. It is a historical argument about how fragility is built into systems that socialize risk while privatizing gains. Lastly, a revisionist history of the New Deal and wartime monetary expansion. Rothbard's treatment of the New Deal and the interwar period is one of the book's most distinctive sections because he presents these decades as a continuation of monetary intervention rather than a cure for earlier instability. He argues that the New Deal intensified regulation, centralized control, and discretionary management of banking and currency, all under the banner of recovery. Instead of viewing these policies as benign modernization, he portrays them as part of a broader pattern in which crisis is used to justify deeper state control over money. The same logic appears in his discussion of wartime finance and inflation, where emergency conditions expand the political tolerance for monetary experimentation. This revisionist approach is useful because it forces readers to reconsider the standard story that more regulation necessarily means more stability. Rothbard's interpretation invites comparison between short-term rescue measures and long-term institutional consequences, especially the erosion of market signals and the normalization of inflationary policy. It is here that the book most clearly links historical narrative to a broader ideological critique of managed money. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in monetary economics, banking history, the gold standard, the Federal Reserve, and Austrian school criticism of central banking. It will be especially valuable to students and general readers who want a historical argument that connects American financial crises to institutional incentives rather than treating them as random failures. Its main practical benefit is that it trains readers to think structurally about money, who controls it, how rules are changed, and how intervention alters risk over time. Intellectual value comes from its synthesis of long-run history with a coherent theory of monetary instability, compared with standard histories of U.S. banking, it is more explicitly interpretive and more skeptical of regulatory and central bank orthodoxies. That difference makes it stand out in the genre, rather than offering a neutral chronology. Rothbard presents a forceful alternative framework for understanding why American monetary policy evolved as it did, and what recurring patterns lie beneath crises, reforms, and official narratives. For readers willing to engage a strongly argued perspective, it offers a distinctive and memorable account of U.S. financial history. If you would like to support Murray N. Rothbard, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.